Good morning. What we have in mind is breakfast in bed for 400,000. It's everybody. We're all feeding each other. We must be in heaven, man. There is always a little bit of heaven in a disaster area.
Joni Mitchell.
I came upon a child of God.
The times were so hard in reality then in America, so violent, so divided, that what was left to you was to dream of a better time. It was from there that you drew your optimism. I have a dream, you know. Well, I had a dream too. You know, you dream that there'll be an end to this conflict, to this violence. It's necessary in those times to have those kind of dreams. Somebody has to be a keeper of them.
Michael Lang, Woodstock-Veranstalter.
We're building a city, basically. We planned for 200,000 people, which was more than anybody had ever seen.
Im Grunde genommen bauten wir ja eine Stadt. Wir hatten mit etwa 200.000 Besuchern gerechnet. Das waren viel mehr als jemals zuvor. Es gab also keine Vorbilder, keine Blaupause für uns. Wir mussten alles improvisieren, was natürlich auch ein Teil des Spaßes ausmachte. Und wir wollten schlicht und einfach alle Künstler verpflichten, die wir live sehen wollten. Wir orientierten uns einfach am eigenen Geschmack. Wir buchten Supergroups wie Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, genauso wie damals eher unbekannte Künstler wie Joe Cocker und Santana. Andererseits sollte es vor allem auch eine Veranstaltung der Gegenkultur werden. Es ging um Musik und um Kunst. Wir wollten mit Woodstock auch demonstrieren, wie es wäre, wenn die Gegenkultur an der Macht wäre. Wir hatten ja 10 Jahre Krisen und Kämpfe um Bürgerrechte hinter uns. Wir waren ja auch so etwas wie der Beginn der Grünen, der Umweltbewegung. Und wir hatten unsere eigenen Vorstellungen davon, wie eine bessere Welt aussehen könnte. Wir dachten, wenn dieses Festival der Gegenkultur ein Erfolg würde, dann wäre das an und für sich schon die größtmögliche politische Aussage.
The festival itself, should it work well, would be a bigger political statement than anything else we could do.
The history of rock and roll as told in our radio show. Teil 2, Woodstock und die Folgen. Sendung von Michael Bartle. Max Jesker, Bauer und Besitzer des Woodstock-Geländes.
This is the largest group of people ever assembled in one place. But I think you people have proven something to the world. That 500,000 kids can get together and have 3 days of fun and music. And have nothing but fun and music.
And so I went to Tim Hardin.
Also ging ich zu Tim Hardin, der eine weitestgehend akustische Band dabei hatte, und versuchte ihn zu überreden, das Festival zu eröffnen. Tim war gerade voll auf Heroin und nicht besonders gut beieinander. Mitten in unserem Gespräch sah ich mich um und bemerkte Richie Havens. Also fragte ich auch ihn. Alle 2 Stunden machte ich die Runde und versuchte, Musiker zu überzeugen. Nach 3 oder 4 Anfragen willigte Richie schließlich um 5:15 ein, als erster zu spielen. Er hatte echt Schiss, dass man ihn steinigen würde oder sowas.
Richie 3 or 4 times he finally agreed to go on first. He was really scared, you know, that people were going to sort of stone him or whatever.
Michael's chasing me over the field. Please go on, you know. I go, they're going to kill me, you know. So finally, you know, after 3 attempts to find me, I said yes, I'd do it.
But as soon as he got out there, I mean, he was the perfect opening act.
Als Richie Havens dann loslegte, war sofort klar, dass er der perfekte Auftaktkünstler war. Er machte alles richtig und sorgte für eine Stimmung im Publikum, für einen Ton, der sich durch das ganze Wochenende hindurch fortsetzte.
Really sort of set the mood for the weekend.
Freedom, 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 freedom.
What happened is I did my slot. And I walked up, there's no one's back here yet. Can you do 4 more songs? So I went out, I did 4 more songs. I sang every song I knew. And now, what do? I go back out on stage for the one last one. They said, you know, 1 more. They're really in the air, they're coming. And I walked out. And believe it or not, I hadn't sung Motherless Child for about 14 years. I used to sing it with a family gospel group. I said freedom because I realized that's what we just earned and that's what we just got. This is the freedom we were looking for. So that's why that word came out.
Freedom, freedom, freedom. Sometimes I feel like
Joe Rosen, Woodstock-Veranstalter.
It was chaotic. We put together an organization and a structure.
Es wurde etwas chaotisch, klar. Aber wir hatten eigentlich eine ganz gute Organisation auf die Beine gestellt, die hätte funktionieren können. Wir haben für ein Dorf oder eine kleine Stadt geplant. 50.000 bis 200.000 Menschen, etwas in der Größenordnung. Ein Sicherheitskonzept war vorhanden. Es gab Pläne für sanitäre Anlagen, ähnlich wie bei einem Musterhaus. Aber wir haben im Traum nicht damit gerechnet, dass am Ende 500.000 Menschen nach Woodstock pilgern würden. Wir wurden ganz einfach von der Menschenmasse überrollt. Aber die Leute haben sich ein Beispiel an unseren Musterhäusern, an unseren Einrichtungen genommen und einfach alles selbst nachgebaut. Die Infrastruktur multipliziert, medizinische Versorgung, Essen, unsere Versuche, den Leuten bei schlechtem Wetter ein Dach über dem Kopf anzubieten. Plötzlich haben ganz normale Konzertbesucher mitgebaut, mitgeholfen und das errichtet, was man eine Ersatzzivilisation nennen könnte. Vielleicht ist das ja das wahre Wunder der Woodstock Nation, dieser Nation im Zeichen des Wassermanns. Es wurde trotz allem ein ungemein friedliches, relativ ordentliches und vor allem ein sehr soziales Wochenende, nahezu ohne Gewalt, und jeder hatte eine enorm gute Zeit. Für viele Menschen war es der Höhepunkt ihres Lebens. Nicht nur wegen des Unterhaltungswerts, sondern auch philosophisch betrachtet.
I don't know if you can really tell how amazing you look, but you're truly amazing. You're a whole city.
If I were a carpenter, you were a lady. Would you marry me anyway? Would you have my baby? If a tinker were my trade, would you still find me carrying the pots I made?
Hans-Georg Beer, Sanitäter in Woodstock.
Jefferson, Grateful, die haben alle von der Dealerei gelebt. Das war für sie mehr als das Einkommen, was sie auf Konzerten hatten. Die kamen mit zu wenig nach Woodstock. Damit hatten sie nicht gerechnet. I should have brought more pot. Das ist der berühmte Satz von Woodstock. Joe Cocker trat so um Nachmittag um 3 am Samstag auf. Und um 14:45 wurde er von 2 Rodis zu uns hereingetragen. Hat einen schweren Spasmusanfall gehabt. 10 Minuten vor seinem Auftritt wankte er auf, wirklich so wie Frankenstein.
I think I should go to stage.
Dann sang er wie, fast wie ein junger Gott.
Oh, baby, I'm in love. Well, I'm in love. Well,
Okay. Vito de la Parra von Kenneth Heat.
We didn't know how to get out of there. Very difficult. How do you get out? We were all tired, needed to go get some sleep. So we found a Cadillac limousine there with the keys in. And Skip goes, come on, let's go. We jumped on the car. We took off on the stolen limousine, went to the hotel. We took the rooms that were kept for Big Brother and the holding company, hijacked the rooms too because we didn't have rooms at the time or somebody had taken ours. We check in the hotel. They say, we have rooms for Big Brother. And he goes, yes, we are Big Brother.
Michael Lang, Woodstock-Veranstalter.
Yeah, we were over $1 million in debt afterwards.
Als alles vorbei war, hatten wir über $1 million Schulden. John Roberts Familie hat uns rausgehauen. Ich hatte ja durch Woodstock eines der bedeutsamsten Ereignisse meines Lebens gehabt. Alle meine Träume haben sich erfüllt und das sollte auf keinen Fall beschädigt werden.
You know, I'd had the experience of my life, frankly. I was, you know, all of my dreams were fulfilled. So I said, let's not trash this. We were in the middle of an unpopular war then. We were in the middle of an unpopular war now.
Wir waren mitten in einem unpopulären Krieg, genau wie heute. Wir machten uns große Sorgen um die Umwelt. Der Earth Day fand zum Beispiel 1969 zum ersten Mal statt. Wir beschäftigten uns mit biologischem Anbau, mit nachhaltiger Entwicklung und mit den Menschenrechten. Wenn man sich heute umsieht, Barack Obama ist ins Weiße Haus eingezogen und die halbe Welt diskutiert mittlerweile den Klimawandel. Dann können wir schon mit etwas Stolz sagen, dass die Saat der Woodstock-Ära teilweise aufgegangen ist.
So a lot of the roots of our present lives were planted there.
City McGee, or C.T. McGee, rather. Please come immediately to backstage right, which is over here. I understand your wife is having a baby. Congratulations. Could we continue, please?
Right now it's time to kick out the jams, brothers and sisters!
John Sinclair, Manager von MC5.
Woodstock really was the turning point in two ways. One, well, by showing there were 500,000 or a million or whatever hippies.
Woodstock war der Wendepunkt in zweierlei Hinsicht. Erstens konnte man zeigen, dass es 500,000 oder sogar 1 Million Hippies gab. Vorher wurden sie immer als kleine, unbedeutende Minderheit von Ausgeflippten abgetan. Und plötzlich sind 500,000 da, im Regen, und sie halten durch. Ein ziemlich machtvolles Bild.
So millions more adopted or embraced the hippie outlook. But at the same time, the record companies and mass media.
Aber gleichzeitig entdeckten natürlich auch die Plattenfirmen und die Medienfabriken diesen riesigen neuen Markt. Eine Erweiterung der dritten Welt, an die sie Schokolade verkaufen konnten. Und von da an dauerte es noch 3 Jahre. 1972 hatten sie alles unter Kontrolle.
Vito de la Parra von Kenneth Heat.
They are who they are, you know. You don't mess with them and they don't mess with you. If you are a black guy with a gun or something trying to kill a Hell's Angel, you're gonna die. You know what I mean? Altamont is the antithesis of Woodstock. It's the opposite of Woodstock. Altamont is the violence, the hard drugs, the Rolling Stones being sort of more of a death band, you know what I mean? Woodstock is the hope, the statement of a generation, the cry for peace, cry for equality for women, cry for the environment and Mother Earth. See, Altamont didn't stand for any of that. Woodstock did. That's why Woodstock will be much more legendary and much more important as a statement of a generation.
Johnny Cash.
I played my first prison at Huntsville, Texas in 1956. There was a Tennessee Two and I, the bass player and the electric guitar player and myself. And before the rodeo, at the prison rodeo, they set up a little stand in the middle of the arena. And we had the electric guitar with a little 12-inch speaker. And just as I got started, a thunderstorm came up and just absolutely drowned us. And drowned out the electric guitar, and the bass came apart, and I kept trying to perform. And the harder I tried, the harder it rained, and the more they cheered, and the more fun we all had. The word spread that I was one of them, but then I started digging into the repertoire from my childhood, you know, the songs that were already there, the prison songs. I'm just here to get my baby out of jail, for one, and a Columbus Stockade Blues, and Jimmy Rogers jail songs, and Hank Williams jail songs, and the classic tragedy songs of country music. And I got into all of those and mixed them up and then put them on record. And I knew if I could ever get a live recording at a prison, it was going to be something really worth listening to. So I finally talked the record company into that, and we managed to do it in February 1968 at Folsom Prison.
Hello, I'm Johnny Cash.
I hear the train a-coming, it's rolling around a bend, and I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison, and time keeps dragging on. But that train keeps a-rolling on down to San Antone. When I was just a baby, my mama told me, son, always be a good boy, don't ever play with guns. But I shot a man in Reno just to watch him die. When I hear that whistle blowing, I hang my head and cry.
The song brought the Folsom Prison Blues brought me to Folsom Prison. But there I saw the real human face of the people that were there. A man on the front row who wrote a song about the chapel there called Greystone Chapel. I'd learned his song the night before, and he didn't know I had learned his song. So during the show, I stopped after a song. I said, I learned a song here last night that was written by one of you, and it's called Greystone Chapel, written by Glenn Shirley. Well, everybody cheered. They knew Glenn because he sang in the prison band, you know. And I recorded his song, and because of his contribution to music and some really nice songs later on that people really took to their hearts, the attention came back to Glenn, and he was paroled after about 3 years, and he was in there for life. And he lived a very good, productive life for many, many years until he had a tragic ending from cancer.
Well, if they freed me from this prison, if that railroad train was mine, I bet I'd move it on a little farther down the line. Far from Folsom Prison, that's where I want to stay. And I'd let that lonesome whistle blow my blues away.
The history of rock and roll, as told in our radio station, the early years. Marcos Valle.
Olha, quem vê cara nova é rosto mais bonito. Quem vê corpo novo é nada mais perfeito. Quem se chega se amarra no teu jeito. Quem te toca fica louco de paixão.
Bossa Nova is a typical thing of Rio, that's for sure. Because Bossa Nova has a lot to do with summer, with beach. For instance, I was a surfer, you know. Jobim, he used to like to make sports. And Menescal, Roberto Menescal, he used to dive. So all of us had these things of the beach and everything. Sure, we had the other side, like Vinicius Moraes. He used to like to drink a lot of scotch, you know. That was the other side of it. Everything would happen much more in Ipanema. That's not more than Copacabana. Even if Copacabana, it was an inspiration for everybody, because I think it's the most beautiful beach that we have in Brazil. But Ipanema, it was the places where Jobim lived, where the other songwriters live, and we would get in contact every week in the house of another guy. Everybody would take the guitar, would have a piano there. And it was very interesting, because I would like to go there with a new song, beautiful. Because that made us start to try to write good music for the other guy, more than to the public. So we didn't have that commercial thing, well, this is going to sell. No, we want to impress the other musicians that would be together. So that was the atmosphere, would be these meetings with the guitar in the weekends, or go to the beach, or get together to play, mostly in Ipanema, and always having the summer, the sun in Ipanema as the background.
É peroba do campo, nó da madeira, caingá, candeia, uma tita pereira. É madeira de vento, tombo da ribanceira, é um mistério profundo, queira ou não queira. É o vento ventando, é o fim da ladeira, é a viga, é o vão, festa da cumieira. É a chuva chovendo, é conversa ribeira, das águas de massa, é o fim da canseira, é o pé.
The Last Poets.
Gather round, old people, while I balance the scales on the roots of rap and the ancient tales. If you don't know the roots from the trunk of the tree, then you won't know the branch of what the fruit will be. You got to first understand the surrounding mystery of rap in relationship to so-called history. History is distorted, so it ain't all there. So let's examine the truth so we can clear the air. Now, way back in the jungles of the African land is when the roots of rap first began. Before the time of the scribes, just the word was heard, and the voice was the choice, like the song of the bird. They knew about the why, and they knew about the then, and they were known all around as the griot men.
Basically, we started in a writers, Black Writers Workshop.
Eigentlich hat alles 1968 beim Black Writers Workshop in Harlem begonnen. Wir trafen uns, um die Erfahrungen der schwarzen Amerikaner zu artikulieren, als Resultat von 400 Jahren Sklaverei. Es war schwierig, aber nötig, diese Gefühle psychologisch, politisch, sozial und ökonomisch zu artikulieren. Ein schwarzer Autor namens Little Willie Coppicilli stieß beim Workshop zu uns. Er war vor der Apartheid in Südafrika geflohen. In einem Gedicht hatte er geschrieben, dies sei die letzte Ära der Gedichte und Essays. Also wären wir die letzten Poeten, die Last Poets dieses Zeitalters. Dem stimmten wir zu und so wurde unser Name geboren. Aufgrund eines expatriierten Poeten aus Südafrika. Unser erstes Album nahmen wir im April 1969 auf. Der Chef der Plattenfirma, Alan Douglas, hatte noch nie so etwas gehört und wusste nicht, wie man so etwas vermarkten sollte. Deswegen wurde The Last Poets erst 1970 veröffentlicht. Es verkaufte sich allein durch Mundpropaganda 1 Million Mal. Und damit war Rap auf der Landkarte. Seitdem hat eine ständige Evolution von Rap stattgefunden. Und jetzt ist es ein Riesengeschäft, aber auch eine wichtige Kunstform.
The voice was the first instrument, you see, and then the drum was the second instrument.
Das erste Instrument war die menschliche Stimme, das zweite war die Trommel. Das Fell der Trommel ist eine Art atmende Membran. Diese Talking Drum, dazu Stimmen und afrikanischer Chorgesang, das machte die Last Poets aus. Dazu kamen traditionelle afrikanische Instrumente. Das lief so bis 1975. Dann wurden die Last Poets ausgeschaltet und mussten in den Untergrund abtauchen. Und eine Zeit lang gab es keinen Rap. Rap war für uns immer die Diskussion ernster Themen. Die Wurzel des Rap ist das sogenannte Toasting. Das Toasten konnte man nur im Knast erlernen. Da wurden Reime zu bestimmten Themen gemacht. Später nannte man das Rap. Es gibt diesen Ausdruck, I'm not taking a rap, ich übernehme nicht die Schuld. Rap heißt nichts anderes als Anklage zu erheben. Also erließen wir Anklagen gegen die Regierung und die Gesellschaft ganz allgemein. Und so erweiterten wir das Bewusstsein des Volkes. Wir halfen also, die Kultur der schwarzen Bewegung in den 60ern anzukurbeln. Unser Toasting kommt aus dem Knast. Jail Toasting hieß das eigentlich.
It was called jail toasting, in fact, you know.
If we only knew what we could do. If we only knew what we could do. If we only knew what we could do.
Gil Scott Heron.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
When we did The Revolution Will Not Be Televised, there was no such thing as rap. So now that everybody does rap, but somebody had to start it. We started it. We placed our stamp on it. Public Enemy, I was a public enemy before some of them were playing music.
Many suggestions and documents written. Many directions for the aid that was given. They gave us and pieces of gold. Tell me who paid reparations on my soul.
Chris Blackwell, Inhaber von Island Records.
I can recall it crystal clear. They walked in, it was him and Peter and Bunny. They walked in my office. They walked in like as kings. The reason that they came to see me was because they were completely broke and they were stranded in England. And I remember thinking to myself, this is amazing, the charisma and the sort of aura they have with them when they're just completely broke like that. They were very strong. I felt immediately that I could really work with them. Yes, it was the basis because I felt the only way to deal with these guys who were really rebel characters, who were fighting the system, was to show them trust, to show them that I trusted them. Do you know what I mean? And it's almost a challenge. Okay, if you want to fuck me, go ahead.
Speak to everything that move it and live it on the earth. All of my family are music.
I put it in shape after he recorded it. A few years ago, it was released, the original record that he gave me of Catch a Fire. I don't know if you ever heard it. It's great. And then in England, I lengthened some of the tracks, overdubbed, put synthesizers on it, rock guitar on it, all the things to basically tickle the ear of the rock music community. For him to have a hit single in the black American charts was virtually impossible at that time, because at that particular time, this was way before rap and the kind of black American music you hear now, which has a lot of attitude. It was all very smooth black American music, very smooth and very clear and things like that, whereas Jamaican music had an edge to it, you know, And I felt that they could really, and also because Ireland really was really a rock label at that time. We didn't, at that particular time, we didn't have any American black records going into American black charts. So what my area of expertise at that time was a rock act. And a rock act meant you're building a career because it's an album format rather than a single format. In a single, you buy the record. You know, in an album, you buy the artist.
Dr. John.
In New Orleans, you not only had French, Spanish, African mixture of Creole, but you have people like myself just of French and German extraction. That is so we cool ass. It's like traditionally people say that the Creole people of Louisiana is French, Spanish, and African, and Indian. But like there's people like myself that is French, German extraction. I have Indian and Irish mixed with my French, German background, and that makes, and I am, my father have always been a part of the Creole tradition of New Orleans. So I'm sure that there's Portuguese people and Philippine people and many, many more mixtures that there isn't any port town.
Vincent.
Hello, Tones.
Hello, Sabina.
Can we hear one of your new songs now?
Well, let's see. Well, this one's... Well, let me just play this one, Snake Mountain Blues. Mr. $10 Man, let me tell where you've been out. Drink your green liquor, Lord, and you'll roll to the ground. But you come around here with your money in your hand. Taste of my woman. You die where you stand.
man's gonna crumble, Lord, and fall from the sky. For that woman of mine stops telling her lies. I die, Lord, she'd weep and she'd mourn. Soon as I's buried, she'd forget I've been born. My daddy, Lord, he rides on a long, holy train. First winds of winter, I see him again. It's farewell to this yellow-headed misery I've known. Snake Mountain's calling. Snake Mountain blues, they got me down low. I could die in the morning, ain't no one would know. My woman come round, my body should find. Go down to Dundee, have her a time. Snake Man blues, they got me down low. I could die in the morning, ain't no one would know. A woman come around, my body should find. Go down to Dundee, have her a time.
But I have certain songs that are, you know, so sad that you can't play them all in a row. You know, I thought nothing was going to be the saddest, and I didn't really come up with it, I don't think. I think it came up with me. And it's terrible. I mean, if you take it serious, you're, you know. But I try to break it up sometimes. If I was to play all my sad songs right in a row and somebody was out there taking it seriously, they'd be, you know, I don't know. But I try. That's not my... My job is to try to play good guitar and folks have a good time.
Well, I saw people crying on your gigs.
Yeah, I try not to make them...
But I think they even enjoyed that, actually.
Well, but enough's enough, you know. Let me play you one more song, okay?
Mm-hmm.
This is a lullaby for my daughter, Katie Bell. Well, there's no deeper blue in the ocean that lies as deep as the blue of your laughing eyes. No sweeter sound than your gentle sigh. No heart was ever so pure. So dream pretty dreams, touch beautiful things. Let all of the skies surround you. Swim with the swans and believe that upon some beautiful dawn, love will find you.
come someday, I'm bound away. Wind and wings on the water. Come what may, you must stay and remain my beautiful daughter. There's no deeper blue than the ocean that lies as deep as the blue of your laughing eyes. No sweeter sound than your gentle sigh. Good night, Katy Bell. Good night.
There are certain rules that you learn that you have to follow. It's like avoiding parties afterwards, because it seems like we come to town and people have a party. And always, you know, great people. Sometimes danger zones, but almost always great people. And they have one party every 2 months when somebody comes to town. And we have a party every night. And then we go to the next. So you have to watch that. Mm-hmm. And the plan, the lights and the microphone, that's the most fun. And meeting people and seeing friends like you. You know, I don't know if I should propose over the air or not, you know. But anyway, and it's so nice to see y'all. But Val, we're gone tomorrow, you know. We'll be elsewhere. And the day after that, boom, we're elsewhere. You still thinking about it, are you?
I do. Ich habe, glaube ich, gerade sowas wie einen Heiratsantrag oder sowas Ähnliches hier bekommen. Dabei haben wir eigentlich über das Spielen geredet, aber vielleicht hat es ja auch damit zu tun. Thank you very much.
My pleasure, Sabine.
George Harrison.
I believe in the saying, if there's a God, we must see him. And I don't believe in the idea, like in most churches they say now, you're not going to see him, he's way above you, just believe what we tell you and shut up. Well, the whole thing is a different way. It's a process of actually having that realization and direct God perception, which is the thing you can attain through chanting and through meditation. But you don't get it in 5 minutes. It's something that takes a long time. To give peace a chance, or all you need is love, the thing is you can't just stand there and say love, 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 or peace, 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 and get it. You have to have a direct process of attaining that. It's like, you know, Christ said, put your own house in order. Maharishi said, for a forest to be green, each tree must be green. So the same, for the world to have peace, each individual must have peace, and you don't get it through society's normal channels, and that's why each individual must attend to himself and get his own peace, and that way the whole society will have peace.
If people need the Beatles so much, all they have to do is to buy each album, put it on tape, track by track, one of me, one of Paul, one of George, one of Ringo, if they really need it that much, because otherwise the music is just the same, only on separate albums. Instead of having the White Album or Abbey Road, where I sing a song, George sings a song, Paul sings a song, Ringo sings a song, wom, 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 like that, we make an album each. That's the only difference. And it's far better music, because we're not suppressed. By the time the Beatles were at their peak, we were cutting each other down to size. We were limiting our capacity to write and perform by having to fit it into some kind of format. I mean, for me personally, when you listen to the Stones music, nothing's ever happened. It's the same old stuff goes on and on and on forever. I've never heard anything different from them. So I think it'd be a good scene if they broke up.
Childhood living. Thank you.
No, I can't let you slide through my hands.
Van Morrison über das Musikbusiness und seine Band Them. Waren sie wirklich Wegbereiter für Punkrock?
Mit dieser Mythologisierung kann ich nicht so viel anfangen. Das war eine andere Ära. Aber auch mit Them war vieles ganz anders. Eigentlich gab es diese Band zunächst nur, damit wir jeden Freitagabend in einem R&B-Club live spielen konnten. Recht viel mehr war da gar nicht. Es gab keinen Masterplan. Wir wollten nie auf Tour gehen, uns promoten oder Platten machen. Der Pianist hat sofort wieder aufhören müssen, weil er noch zur Schule ging. Musiker kamen und gingen. Them war nicht viel mehr als der Name.
And the manager said, as long as you're singing on it, I don't care who is backing you up.
Der Manager sagte mir irgendwann, solange du singst, ist mir wurscht, wer dich begleitet. Ich sagte, mir ist das nicht egal, das ist so unsicher, das wird nicht lange halten. War ihm aber auch egal. Dann sagte ich zu ihm, gut, dann schreiben wir meinen Namen drauf. Ich suche mir dann schon ein paar Musiker. Ich muss das ja auch verantworten. Und dann ging ich ins Studio und nahm 3 Songs auf. My Lonely Sad Eyes, Could You, Would You und I Can Only Give You Everything. Und dachte, diese Songs seien der Grundstock für mein Soloalbum. Und dann ist Folgendes passiert. Während ich in L.A. ein paar Gigs spielte, brachten sie die Tracks unter dem Namen Them raus, obwohl kein einziger Them-Musiker mehr dabei war. Er hat mich komplett hintergangen. Das ging so weit, dass mir Leute schrieben, sie seien von den neuen Them-Songs begeistert. Und ich musste dann sagen, von Them hat da keiner mitgespielt. So lächerlich und verlogen war die ganze Situation damals. Aber so läuft es im Musikbusiness und ich würde sagen, heute ist es noch viel schlimmer.
It's kind of the way the music business was, and actually it's probably worse now.
And I was throwing the merry wind, jumped the hedges first. And I will drink the clear, clean water for to quench my thirst. And I shall watch the ferry boats and they'll get high. On a blue ocean against tomorrow's sky. And I will never grow so old again.
Jimmy Page von Led Zeppelin.
The fact is, the chemistry of Led Zeppelin is that you've got 4 incredible musicians individually. But the thing was that they could play as a band. And that was the difference between us and all of the others. We were all on top of our game. That is one of the things that, you know, if you want to play guitar, if you want to play bass or harmonica, whatever you want to do, there's a wonderful textbook there of Led Zeppelin.
John Paul Jones von Led Zeppelin.
Bonzo was always a very complicated drummer who sounded very simple. And it's deceptively simple when you listen to what Bonzo plays, but there's always tiny little kicks and little beats all over the place that just contribute to this feel, this incredible feel that he had. The groove was just the best ever. I remember when I first played with him, the very first day, because being a bass player, I hadn't heard him play before until the first rehearsal, and I'm thinking, I really hope it's a good drummer. Because for a bass player, if it's a bad drummer or a not-so-good drummer, it's just hard work, right? And as soon as I play with Bonzo, I think, thank goodness for that. He's a great drummer, and this is going to be easy. This is going to be fun and easy.
Yeah.
Leonard Cohen.
In other words, there's no faith, there's no belief, there's only activity.
Nancy Sinatra.
I think it's a lack of truth and honesty, and I'm such a firm believer in honesty and telling the truth and letting your audience see who you really are, because that's the only thing you have to contribute that's different from everybody else.
When I get to the bottom, I go back to the top of the slide, and I stop and I turn and I go for a ride, and I get to the bottom and I see you again.
John Lennon.
I'd like to live to ripe old age with Yoko only, you know. And I'm not afraid of dying. I don't know how I'd feel at the moment, but I'm prepared for death because I don't believe in it. I think it's just getting out of one car and getting into another.
Towns Van Zandt.
It's funny, Sabina. You get home and, boy, you wake up. Where's my guitar? Where's the suitcase? Where are we going? And I realize I'm in my own room. And the only thing to do is feed the dog and feed the birds. That's it. And nothing to do for 3 weeks.
Keith Richards.
I mean, I'll play as long as I can, and people want to see it, and I'm playing with the people I want to play with. I just don't want to stop before it finishes.
The history of rock and roll, as told in our radio station. Sendung von Michael Bartle. Produktion Rainer Schaller.
So thanks again, friends, for coming, and I hope you enjoy the music.